for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind. Blessed through endless ages be the precious stream, which from endless torment did the world redeem. Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. Oft as earth exalting wafts its praise on high, angel host rejoicing make their glad reply. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood, louder still and louder, praise the precious blood.
The congregation is invited to stand for our opening versicles. This is a day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come of me after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. We sing 606.
The spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, clean in his blood most precious, till not a spot remains. I lay my wants on Jesus, all fullness dwells in him. He heals all my diseases, my soul he does redeem. I lay my griefs on Jesus, my burdens and my cares. He from them all releases, he all my sorrows shares. I rest my soul on Jesus, this weary soul of mine. His right hand he embraces, I on his breast recline. I love the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, Christ the Lord. Like fragrance on the breezes, his name abroad is poured.
Both the readings from Leviticus and from Hebrews speak of atonement by blood. And what we see in Psalm 85 is a reliance on the forgiveness of God. God covers people's sins. So we first hear about the importance of blood and not eating the blood in all animals, showing how the blood is important for the sacrifices in Leviticus 17, and then Hebrews 9, which clearly says Jesus is this Lamb of God who shed blood saves us. Leviticus 17, verses 10 through 12. If anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Therefore I have said to the people of Israel, no person among you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger who sojourns among you eat blood. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Today we consider Psalm 85. And I'm going to read the little inscription at the start. And we read the Selah in last week's Psalm, but we're not going to read that today. But we will read the rest of the Psalm 85 out together. Although the placement of that one Selah is very interesting today. So I read the inscription to the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. You're invited to read with me. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you would like, you can look at the little outline. The people had been in captivity in Babylon. And they were in captivity because of their sins against God. They had brought in false worship. They had brought in idol worship. They were taking advantage of one another. It was had become very wicked. God sent prophets before the captivity, but the people sometimes even stoned and killed the prophets. So they were in captivity in Babylon. And then through King Cyrus and town after him, they were allowed to go back. They were allowed to go back to rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. And so we see that background is behind this psalm. So this psalm is maybe 2,400 or 2,500 years old. And the psalmist says, Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. Restored the fortunes of Jacob means they were allowed to go back to their land, to rebuild Jerusalem. And in verse 2 there, you forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins. That's really, really vital here. It's almost vital to the whole psalm. It is vital to the whole psalm. Because those sins that they had committed, the unfaithfulness, the having other gods, not following the Old Testament rules and regulations and love for their one another and their neighbor, was forgiven by God. And when it says in the second part of verse 2 there, you covered all their sin. This is really referring to this atoning action by God, that their sins were forgiven. And in this psalm, there's only the one Selah, the whatever that musical notation is, increased loudness, musical interlude, whatever it would be. Notice, it's after the forgiveness of sins. Let's sing or make music or rejoice, whatever that indication is there. And including in there, the psalmist says in verse 3, your wrath you took back. Your anger stopped. I wanted to also note in verse 2 there, it says, the iniquity of your people. The psalmist, even though they were sinners, he believed that God was their God. And so the psalmist is saying, this is your people. You belong to them and they belong to you. And that close relationship there. We, as in the New Testament, which is why I chose that Hebrews reading, know that finally God's wrath and God's punishment on sin and thus the forgiveness of sin finally is achieved in the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. So as New Testament Christians, we look back and we see this psalm and then we see it being fulfilled in Christ. That's forgiveness and that wrath being put down. And yet, they are struggling with sin. They are struggling with doubts and unbelief. And they still need God's salvation. It says there in verse 4, restore us again. Again. O God of our salvation. Over and over again, they need God's salvation. Verse 5, do you see that? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? That's over a period of time. All generations. And so, in that section in verse 7, show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Your steadfast love as we're trying to rebuild Jerusalem, as we're trying to rebuild the temple, and they had all kinds of hindrances and doubts and even disobediences, and yet God, be steadfast, restore through the generations our salvation. As they have that need, and the psalmist says that, what do we need now? Verse 8, let me hear what the Lord will speak. He desires God's word. This is what he needs, and this is what the people need. That's a very lovely thing, the second line in verse 8, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. And that concept or that word of saint is actually in the Holy Ones, is really strong in the New Testament. In the Hebrew there, you might translate it the righteous ones, which we understand as saints, God's redeemed. And so even as in the Old Testament, before Christ came, they knew God gave righteousness to his people. And he calls, the psalmist calls God's people the righteous ones. And in this translation, the saints. But they need this peace from God, the shalom from God. And isn't that interesting? That last line in verse 8, but let them not turn back to folly. Don't let them be foolish. They're your saints. You've made them the righteous ones. Don't let them turn back to folly and foolishness. And then verse 9, the first line, salvation is close to those who fear him. How do we understand the commandments in our small catechism over and over again? We must fear and love God so that this respect, this awe, this knowledge that God is above all, when we have that, we also have the love, but we know when we trespass against God, when we sin against him, we know he's over us, and we know we need his salvation. He is over us. So the psalmist says, those who fear him, salvation is near. And in the last final set of three verses, if you just look at the verse 10, it actually mentions four things that they need from God, blessings they need from God, which are kind of repeated and built upon in the following verses. Verse 10, steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. And the following lines kind of build that out, but that's the four things he's asking from God. We need your word, we need to fear you, and we need your love and faithfulness, righteousness, and peace. Verse 12, there's more things we could say in these, but verse 12, look at that first line. Yes, the Lord will give what is good. In all that is happening over these decades of rebuilding the Jerusalem and the temple, the psalmist draws our attention as we sing this psalm that the Lord gives what is good. We need him. We need his forgiveness and peace and faithfulness. And he gives what is good. As we sing, as we recite and speak that psalm this coming Sunday, notice a few of these details. And know that you speak it with God's people for the last 2,500 years, what God is doing. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you have put these words to the psalmist so many thousands of years ago. And you are the same God with the same promises, the same holiness, and the same forgiveness. And yet now we know you have forgiven our sins fully and completely, finally, in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to meditate on what you have done through him, your Son. Help us to believe in Jesus and hold him as holy and our Savior. Give us your Holy Spirit to give us faith and your peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We sing hymn 610, Lord Jesus, think on me.
And purge away my sins.
set me free and make me pure within. Lord Jesus, think on me, by anxious thoughts oppressed. Let me your loving servant be and taste your promised rest. Lord Jesus, think on me amid the battle strife, in all your pain and misery. Oh, be my health and life. Lord Jesus, think on me, nor let me go astray. Through darkness and perplexity, point out your chosen way. Lord Jesus, think on me, that when this life is past, I may the eternal brightness see and share your joy at last.
The congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayers on the back page of the bulletin. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We speak our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn, 880.
Now all the heavens
starlight tender, from myriad worlds unknown, and we this marvel sing. Forget our selfish being, for joy of beauty not our own. Lord Jesus, since you love me, now spread your wings above me and shield me from alarm, though Satan would devour me. Let angels guard, sing o'er me, this child of God shall meet no harm. My loved ones rest securely, for God this night will surely from peril guard your heads. Sweet slumbers may he send you, and bid his host attend you, and through the night watch o'er your bed.